powerful you are. Can't measure it. But God, thank you for keeping us close to your heart. May your name be blessed, God. Thank you for your spirit is in this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I've entitled our time together, Find Your Mission. Find your God-given mission. Just like you find a career that you love and you want to enjoy for the rest of your life. And just like you find a mate to marry and have some amazing magical moments with. And just like you find your keys when you misplace them somewhere in the house, just like I do all the time, then also you want to find your God-given mission. Now, I want to begin by sort of kind of helping us out and giving us a head start on God's mission for our lives. First, God's mission. This is going to be on your notes. I want you to write this down. If you want to take notes, the note-taking sheets are placed inside the bulletins, and you can just write down the fill in the blank that I'm going to give you. Number one, mission number one is to love God deeply. That's God's given mission to all people. Love God deeply. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It doesn't matter who you are, where you go to church, if you go to church. It doesn't matter your race, your gender, your color, your background, your ethnicity. None of that matters at all. Whether you believe in Jesus or you do not believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter what you think about God. God's plan for your life and for mine is for us to love him deeply, because God loves everyone. So God wants everyone to love him back. And we love him back because the Bible tells us that Jesus is God's son. We love him back when we first ask Jesus to take over our lives and we trust him as Savior. And so we love God back when we ask Jesus into our lives. And then what God does is the good news is once we believe in Christ and we are willing to follow Christ, then God begins to pour on our lives his blessings and his goodness and his power. Man, God just loves us. And if you're not a born-again believer, if you say, man, I don't know if I die today, I go to heaven. If you have never stopped and asked Jesus Christ to save your soul and forgive you of your sins, you got to do that. And you can do that today. And so God's mission for your life and my life, it don't matter who you are, is to love him deeply. Second idea or freebie on what God's mission for us is, number two, for your notes, God. Oh, by the way, is there a quote that I'm supposed to give here by Chip Ingram? Yeah, surrender is the channel through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. So you surrender to Christ, and God is going to just pour on the blessings. Number two, for your notes, your mission, my mission, is to love our families. Your mission is to love your family. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did Jesus love the church? He loved the church so much he was willing to die for his church. The word love there, when God says through Paul, hey guys, love your wives as Jesus loves the church, the word is agape love. And agape love in the Greek is sacrificial love. You are married, you love your wife, man, the way Jesus loves his church. You are willing to sacrifice for your wife. Agape love is one that gives love expecting nothing in return. Men are blessed when they do whatever they can for their wife's happiness. They put their needs aside, their wants aside, so that their wife's needs and wants would be fulfilled. A man who loves his wife in an agape kind of way is one who sacrifices for his wife, for her happiness. He makes her feel special. He meets her needs. He romances her. He treats her gently. He helps her become all that she can become in God's eyes. So men, we need to be asking ourselves, if we're married, we need to be asking ourselves, God, how can I love my wife in a sacrificial kind of way that you are honored with? That is God's mission for us men. There need to be more men who love their lives with agape love. Can I hear an amen? There needs to be more men in our world, in our society, who are willing to do anything they can to make their wives feel like the queen of their castles. And then, of course, Paul also speaks to the wives. And so for your notes, I want you to write this down. Wives, this is your mission from God. Wives, love your husbands and children. Paul wrote to Titus, Pastor Titus, and he said this to him, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. This is from the Message translation of the Bible. Paul says, guide older women into lives of reverence, so by looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure, keep a good house, and be good wives. The word for love there is not agape love. God doesn't say to the wives, hey, agape love your husband, sacrificial. That's not what it says there. The Greek word for love there is philia. And philia is the best friendship you could give. And this is what God is saying, ladies. God is saying to you, be your husband's bestie. That's what he's saying. He's saying, be your husband's bestie. You know, you do anything for your bestie. You have a good friend, you have a best friend, you do anything for that friend. And so what God is saying to the ladies, to the wives, this is his mission for married people. He says to the wives, hey, listen, do what you can to be your husband's loudest cheerleader. You lift him up, you push him forward, you cheer him on as he pursues his dreams. That's God's will for your life. So God wants you to be your husband's bestie. And also God says to the wives, hey, listen, love your children. God also wants men to love their children. In fact, in our society, we need more men who stick around and love their wives and their children. But he's saying to the wives here, hey, love your husbands and love your children. Raise them up in a way that would honor God the Father. And so God is saying to all the families, hey, raise your children in a way that they remember Jesus, in a way that they know as they grow up that there is a Jesus to follow, right? So since they're young, from the time they're young, you want to keep telling them about Jesus. You got to tell them, you want to tell them stories about Jesus. That's what God wants. I really feel like God told me some time back to start writing children's stories. I've shared that with some of y'all. So I've written children's stories. They're Bible stories for children that are like 1, 2, and 3 years old, where the parent can sit down with the baby and take that Bible, and I'm twisting him so that the message is still there that the Bible tells us, but it makes it more fun for a two-year-old to keep their attention. So you be praying for me as I'm writing these Bible stories for little babies, because parents need to spend time telling their children about Jesus. You love your kids, man. Love your kids in a way that would honor God. That is our mission. And so that's what God wants. Number three, and this is where we're going to stay for the remainder of our time. So God says, hey, listen, love me deeply. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children deeply, right? And then number three, our mission, ladies and gentlemen, be on mission for God and win others for Jesus. That's your mission. That's my mission. Not only do you love God, but then you go on mission for God. And to go on mission for God, meaning here in America or in Melbourne, Florida, or even abroad, you just go be on mission and tell people about Jesus. Matthew 22:39, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. I just want you to know, I thank God that somebody is looking out for me. Somebody looking out for me. Y'all are looking out for me. And because y'all are looking out for me, I want to look out for you. I got your back, right? And spiritually speaking, I am so thankful that somebody was looking out for my spiritual welfare. That's why somebody gave me a track in a park in Puerto Rico one night. As I was walking around, these three people gave me a gospel track. I didn't know what to do with it, so I tossed it in the trash, and I didn't even read it. But I remember them caring enough for me to give me a track. I saw that it was about how to know Jesus as your Savior, and I chucked it. But people cared enough for me to tell me about Christ. And my grandmother cared enough for me to get on her knees every night praying for my salvation. And my daddy and my mom wanted me to get saved, right? And so just like somebody cared for me to know that I'm going to go to heaven one day and to get to know Jesus as Savior, so I need to now care enough to tell somebody about Christ. You want God to use you to tell somebody about Jesus. You received the love of God, now give it away. Give it away. Tell somebody about the Lord. You know, everyone, God's made everyone, right? And the Bible tells us that the creature seeks the creator. You were created by, everybody you know was created by God. And whether they admit it or not, whether they want to talk about it or not, everyone thinks about what's out there, but they don't know. You know what most people get close to God? When death knocks on their door. Then people want to talk about God. Then people are calling for a preacher. Hey, can somebody come do my funeral over here? They don't care about God all year long, all throughout their lives. But then death comes knocking at the door, and they want to know God. They want to know what God's all about. You know, last Monday, our cleaning small group was here, and we're having a great time, and it's a great ministry if you like to think about something to do. You know, Mondays we get to clean the church. But anyway, there was a Muskogee duck out here. There was a Muskogee duck. Not the pretty ones. Not the pretty ones. The big ones that waddle. You know what I'm talking about? The big ones, right? And he was sitting right there by the garden in front of the church. Just sitting there. And I love animals. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing here, man? Yeah, I started talking to the thing, and I began to research, and I asked Google, when do ducks lay eggs? Because I'm ready to put a yellow tape, you know, warning, don't cross this line, there's a duck here laying eggs, right? And so I'm thinking, when do ducks start laying eggs? And I found out that this is the time they start laying eggs. And so I thought it was a mommy duck. You know, I'm like, okay, girl, we'll take care of you, just it's cool. And so I left here, and then Tuesday, she's gone. And I thought about that duck. You ever find yourself thinking about ducks? And I'm not talking about eating here. I'm just, yeah, I wonder what happened to my friend, the duck. Okay? So I got here Wednesday, and she's dead right by outside my office door. Yeah. I was saddened. I said, oh, man, the duck. Jeez, right? And I got to think about this. You know, instinctively, I know this is a long stretch, but this duck was facing death and just got close to the church, died right here by the church, right? And you know, that's what people do. People, they want to get close to God. They want to go close. Call the preacher. Call the priest. Call the rabbi. Because death is near. That's okay. We need to, folks, be more diligent. Every one of us, we need to be more diligent in telling people about Christ. Because death is going to knock at the door. And I know what somebody may be saying. Well, I'm young. Death is nowhere near. But I want to tell you, nobody knows when death is going to be knocking at your door. I mean, look at what happened to Laken Riley in Georgia. Nursing student, 26 years old. Goes out for a jog like she did on a regular basis, and there was an illegal alien that knocked her over the head and killed her. She just thought, I'm just going to go for a walk, just no big deal. I'll get back and take a shower. And she didn't know it was her last jog she will ever take. You just never know. You just never know. You're watching me through Facebook, and you're like, you know, I'm not thinking about death. You need to think about death. Because death can come to you at any point in time. That's why we, the Christians, the believing community, we've been given this gift of eternal life. And we are telling you, we're sharing that we need, everybody needs to get saved. Everybody needs to give their heart to Christ. So Paul and Silas, the Bible says, we know him as Saul, but then his name became Paul. And the Bible tells us that God chose them to share the gospel. Share the gospel. The story of Jesus with the Gentile churches. So we read up in Acts chapter 13. We're in Acts chapter 13, right? Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 4. Check it out. One day, the Bible says, these men, a few men of God, were worshiping the Lord and fasting, meaning abstaining from food, right? To focus on God. And the Holy Spirit said to them, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit to find your mission. Write this down on your notes, please. To find your mission, follow God closely. You say, what does God want from my life? Well, you know God wants you to share the gospel, but, you know, he may do it in a certain way. So you need to find your mission from God. And the way you do that is to follow God closely. Paul and Barnabas were worshiping the Lord. They were fasting. And that's when God's voice came and said, hey, take these two guys and send them out. So you and I, to know God's moving and to know God's will for our lives, to find our missions, we need to be prayed up every day. We need to be Christian brothers and sisters. We need to be worshiping God every day. We need to be thinking about God every day. If we're children of God, we need to live and behave like children of God wherever we are. Whether we're at work or at school or wherever it may be, we need to be children of God, not just at church. It's easy to be a Christian at church. We need to be Christians everywhere else, right? So Paul and Barnabas, they're worshiping God, and God is like, hey, I got something for you to do. So if you want to know what God wants from you, then listen, worship God. Fast sometimes. Focus on prayer. Think about God during your day, and God will use those open doors to say, I got something for you to do. And then you follow, right? So Paul and Barnabas, they go on their first missionary journey. Check it out. The Bible tells us, verse 5. When they arrived at Salamis, so the brethren said, hey, you guys, you need to go tell people about the Lord Jesus. So they went to a place called Salamis. If you're like me, when you read this, you think about fried salami for some reason. Okay, so it says here, when they arrived at Salamis, when I read that, I was like, oh, man, I love fried salami. All right, okay, so anyway, but Salamis has nothing to do with fried salami. All right, sorry about that. All right, when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues. Awesome. They shared the good news. Look at what happened next. Verse 6. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island until finally they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. We're going to talk about Bar-Jesus in just a minute. But you know what struck me as I read this? That they went to Salamis and they preached the gospel. And then they went to Paphos, right? You know what happened in Salamis? Absolutely nothing. That's what happened at Salamis. God says, hey, you guys, I got a mission for you. It's going to be special. It's going to be unique. I want you to go share the gospel. Okay, we're going. So they reach Salamis, and they tell everybody about Jesus. And the Bible tells us nothing about what happened there. So they went to Paphos. Because you and I would think, hey, God's got something great for me, so big things are going to happen. They may or they may not. But they left Salamis, and there was nothing going on there. No conversions, as far as we know, no baptisms, no miracles, no lives transformed. Which made me think, when you and I go do whatever God's mission is, leave the results up to God, will you? Leave the results up to God. All I can do is just preach my heart out God's word. The results are up to God. They're not up to me. I'm just a Puerto Rican trying to figure out how to speak English and how to say things so that everybody understands. You know what I'm saying? And I want to have a heart for God. All I got to do is just try my best, and then it's all up to God. Sometimes God blesses in great ways. There was a fellow missionary by the name of John Getty. John Getty was a missionary, and he was called the father of Presbyterian missions. This is what was said about John Getty. When he arrived here, it was said, in 1848, he said, there were no Christians. When he left 24 years later, there were no heathens. Wow. What a blessing. What God do with John Getty, right? Sometimes God moves in great ways and we're excited about it. And sometimes we're working hard for God and nothing's happening. And that can be very discouraging. There's a book, old book, by Leonard Ravenhill called Why Revival Tarries. It's a tough book, man, because this guy pulls no punches. But he says this in his book. It was 7 years before William Carey baptized his first convert in India. It was 7 years before Adoniram Judson won his first disciple in Burma, Asia. It was 7 years before Robert Morrison, the missionary in China, won a Chinese man to Jesus Christ. It was 7 years before Robert Moffat saw a moving of the Spirit of God in Africa. It was 7 years before Henry Richards won his first convert in Congo, Africa. Wow, 7 years. Hard work, prayer, seeking, fasting, praying, sharing, witnessing, praying, fasting, sharing, getting in touch with community. 7 years, 1 year, nothing. 2 years, nothing. 3 years, nothing. 4 years, no chance. 5 years, nothing. 6 years, nothing. 7 years, the doors opened. Don't get discouraged, my brothers and sisters. You try your best and you give your best shot. And remember, it's all up to God, right? You just never know. You got to remember how far your influence for God will go. Your words, your smile, your disposition, whatever. Whatever God's using in your life, your joy for the Lord, God will use it to work in people's lives. Even if you don't know about it, there's something going on that God's doing. All right, check it out. Verse 7. We'll continue in the book of Acts. This is Bar Jesus now. He was a sorcerer. He was no good. This guy was no good. He, Bar Jesus, had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus. Isn't that a great name? Hey, what's your name? Sergius Paulus. Oh, boy, that just like melts you, doesn't it? Sergius Paulus. Wow. I'm the only one that gets excited about certain things. So they went to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him. Cool. For he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, same as Bar-Jesus, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Verse 9, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, you son of the devil. Can you picture that? He's looking at this rascal in the eye and says, you son of the devil. Full of every sort of deceit, he says to Elymas, full of deceit and fraud, an enemy of all that is good. Will you never stop perverting the ways of the Lord? So he says three things about this rascal, Bar-Jesus or Elymas. First, for your notes, he said, you're an enemy of all that is good. Enemy of all that is good, in my way of thinking, is a friend of all that is bad. So Elymas was a friend of all that is bad. Man. If you have friends or acquaintances that are enemies of all that is good and is a friend of all that is bad, you got to get away from those people. Because they will corrupt you and they will kind of lead you in the bad way. Stay away from those people and mess you up. And then Paul said about Elymas, he's full of deceit. And that means really literally bait and hook. Bait and hook. You know, when you're fishing fresh water, you usually have like a fake worm or a little lure that you're just tossing and then you're bringing it back and kind of wiggling. the pole, and it makes you the fish think, oh, that's a real fish. And they go after it, glunk, and it's fake. So the fish gets deceived. He thinks this is food, but it's just because it's making believe that it's the real deal. You know, the culture is making us think, y'all, that what the devil promotes is good when it's really bad. There's like a live bait being put out, not a live bait, a bait and a hook being put out there by the devil, trying to tempt us to do the wrong thing. And you know what? The temptation always looks good. Temptation is not ugly. Why is it not ugly? Because you and I would not be going after something ugly. We go after something pretty. We go after something that sounds good. You never think about the repercussions. You know, a person never says, oh, I'm going to go ahead and mess up my family and my wife forever by having an affair. Oh, I can't wait to do that. No, we never say that. Nobody ever says that. They just, having an affair looks tempting, looks exciting to some people, right? You never say, I'm going to lie so that somebody busts me later and I have to pay the price. I don't care. No, no, no. You know, lying sounds good at one time, especially when you're conniving something that's not right. Be careful with that. Remember, the culture is trying to deceive us so we can be far from God. Something else that Paul said about Elymas, the sorcerer. He said, you're a fraud. You're a fraud, bro. Well, he didn't call him bro because he wasn't a bro. He said, you're a fraud. And a fraud there means a premeditated act of evil. This guy was pure bad to the core. So the Bible says that Paul opposed this rascal. You know what happened? The Bible says that God struck Elymas with blindness. Boom! And the governor, Sergius Paulus, got saved. Your mission, the world is going to try to keep you away from the people you need to be sharing the gospel with. The world is going to try to interfere with what you got going on. That's the devil. You know, we took a big mission trip to the mountains of Guatemala years ago. You all know about this. And man, we're doing good. God's blessing. And it was all awesome until the night they offered us dinner and a milk that had chunks of something in it. And when I saw that milk with chunks, jumping into the water, into the milk, I was like, I'm not eating that. Now, the missionary has said, whatever they put in front of you, do eat. But I had the excuse that I never eat before I preach. So I told the guy, I said, do listen to me. I don't care what they put in front of me, even if it's a steak, I'm not going to eat it. If I'm going to be preaching that night, I'm not going to eat anything. So that day, they were feeding us food. I was going to preach later. And I saw this drink that had chunks of something in it, the milk. And I said, stop. In my mind, I'm like, nope, nope, nope. I want to tell you, our people got so sick that night. I mean, it was nasty, horrible. I didn't, but they did. And we had a guy, Jimmy Saxman. I still laugh about it. Jimmy Saxman was vomiting so loud in front of that church. I think every cat and every dog heard him all over that tribe, right? And I'm just cracking up on the podium in my sleeping bag because I can hear him go, whoa! You know, some people, I guess, vomit kind of decently, but this guy was letting it all. Jimmy says, I was like, oh, like that. I'm not lying to you. He was just going to town. And yeah, I was kind of feeling sorry for Jimmy Sagan. But he was so loud and crude that I was like, this is crazy funny. Anyway, whatever. All right, So the enemy, the enemy was trying to put a big bucket of cold water on our fire. He'll try to do that sometimes. He'll try to mess us up. Never back down from God's mission for your life. It's not going to be easy sometimes. Satan's going to try to feed you some milk with chunks in it. Don't drink it. You keep trying. You keep moving forward with whatever God told you to do, right? That's God's mission for you. The Bible says, verse 13, Paul and his companions then left Paphos by ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port of Perga. Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the services. After the usual reading of the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent this message, brothers, to Paul and Barnabas. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come give it. Talk about an open door of opportunity. Hey, do you have something you can tell us to encourage us? Paul said, yes. You imagine? And listen. Encouragement there means gladness and joy. Hey, do you have something to say that's going to bring gladness and joy to my life? That's what they were asking. And Paul said, of course. You know, people need gladness and joy in their life. They need encouragement from us. Whoever you know, whether they're believers or not believers, go out and encourage them in the name of Jesus. Because they need it. We need it. So when you read the story of Acts chapter 13, you read that Paul told them about God's mission for the world and took them all the way to the cross and Christ and the resurrection, right? And he told them about forgiveness of sin. And look at verse 43. And the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. Your mission, for your notes, write this down. Your mission is to refresh others. That's all that's needed. Refresh him in the name of Jesus. Let's close this out. Verse 14. Paul and Barnabas spoke in the synagogue in Iconium, just as they had done at Antioch. And many Jews and Gentiles put their faith in the Lord. Oh, good news. See, Salamis, nothing happened. They go to Antioch, boom, a lot of people put their faith in the Lord. But the Jews who did not have faith in him made the other Gentiles angry and turned them against the Lord's followers. Paul and Barnabas stayed there. Notice they didn't run away. They stayed there for a while, having faith in the Lord and bravely speaking his message because they're being opposed. The Lord gave them the power to work miracles and wonders, and he showed them that their message about his gift of undeserved grace was true. Be on mission, y'all. Share your faith. Let God use you. You and I, we need to stay prayed up, geared up, and hyped up for God. Because the message of Jesus needs to be shared as he leads. Go in his strength, by his will, in his power. Tell his truth. Go where he leads you and do what he tells you. You plant seeds or water seeds or harvest seeds that have been planted and watered. And man, it's going to bless your life in a big way. I want to close with going back to Lake and Riley. Because her life was cut short. She had a world of years still to live. But she died. She died early. Her mother said this about Lakin. Check it out. Lakin loved to invite people to go to church with her and share her faith. Her love for our Lord Jesus was infectious and helped many people develop or expand their relationship with our Lord Jesus. The mom continued, I know my sweet Lakin knew Jesus personally, and she will live eternally in God's home in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to ask him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, watching me right now on your computer, you need to ask Jesus right now to save your soul. Amen? Let's pray together and let's be on mission for God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who was buried, the one who resurrected from the dead. God, if somebody here needs to receive Jesus as Savior, we pray right now they'd be willing to open their heart. And if somebody on watching me on the computer, sitting there wherever they are, say, man, I need Jesus in my heart, I just challenge you right now to pray something like this. Lord God, just pray something like this. Lord God, thank you for your son Jesus. Right now, I open my heart to Jesus Christ and I give you my life. Please, God, forgive me of my sins. I commit my life to you. I surrender to you being Lord of my life. Thank you for listening to my prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, listen, if you're watching me on the computer and you just prayed that prayer, I want to tell you the Bible says that God has invaded your heart and he will never, ever leave you. If you just ask Jesus in your heart to be your Savior for the first time, you've never done that before, but this morning you prayed to ask Jesus in your heart, would you just raise your hand, put it back down, and say, man, I just gave my heart to Jesus for the first time ever. I've never done that before. All right. Father, thank you for Paul and Barnabas. We're going to meet them in heaven one day. Thank you for giving us a purpose to live. Thank you for appointing us to do something for your kingdom's sake. Thank you for the mission that you have laid before us. Holy God, help us live for you. Help us seek you out and help us not be afraid to openly share the goodness and the mercy and the grace found in Jesus Christ. Father, you're an awesome God. I pray you help our people here. Help us all be willing to follow you and love you deeply. Love our mates and our children every way we can. And also, God, be on mission by sharing Jesus. Thank you for this great worship time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And part of our worship, folks, as we kind of get ready to close this out, part of our worship is to give God an offering. If you came ready to